hello everyone, it's Will Johnston with the MicroLife Institute, and I've got my partner with me,
Kim Buchero,
and this is Micro Living, and we are excited to have some special guests today from Pinewood Forest. So I'm going to let these awesome gentlemen introduce themselves.
Hi, it's Brett Baker, Pinewood Forest, and I am head of the Builders Guild here.
And who do we have with you?
Jefferson Brown, architect.
Architect, perfect. Now, do you want to add some more labels behind that? I knew a lot of people do. AIA, ADD, or whatever are these things like?
All of it.
All of it. Okay, good. Architect at all. Got
AIA,
it.
AIA, well, certified, lead AP.
We are in good hands, folks. So, Brett, we're here today at this amazing project called Pinewood Forest, and it has been under construction for several years. It was a vision of, and I'll let you get into that. So, actually, I'm going to hand it to you and kind of give us the vision of Pinewood Forest.
Pinewood Forest is a 235-acre community, a town originally for creatives. We're across the street from Pinewood Studios Atlanta, and this development is a great place for that community to thrive.
So Brett, all right, you told us our vision around Pinewood Forest, and now you're into phase two, which is dealing with some micro living. So if you want to go into that a little bit.
Our visionary really appreciates the smaller footprint living, and that relates to tiny homes. We actually have, I believe, the first casita in Atlanta, Georgia. Our developer had gone to South by Southwest, and we actually purchased a casita and had it transported here.
Note, we are filming, or we are recording, in the casita right now.
So, when the casita delivered, we actually just wanted to fully experience what 374 square feet felt like and learn from that. We took those learnings and we created our own community of currently six micro homes, or what we call micro village, which is in phase two.
So, Jefferson, when were you brought in, and have you stayed the night in the casita to get your inspiration around what you did? And
our design team did stay in the casita. We did several meetings. So we actually worked it during the day. We worked it at the evening. Our team had guests come and visit. We had another team that came in, and they actually brought pets. So we tried to experience as many things as possible. We were here on a great night, moonlit. We were here in a downpour on the second one. So we tried to experience as many things as possible. We came out of there with just a booklet of just thinking, our thoughts about what worked, what could be improved, what didn't work.
Right.
We took all those elements. Working together, we were able to create these three or six concepts where we tried to incorporate what we learned here and then what we wanted to improve.
Right.
We also started then to look at who would be the users, who would actually be the people who could stay, who would be looking at staying in this community. And we created from single level.
Right.
Because if you're empty nester, maybe you're interested in single level. Maybe if you have ADA concerns,
right,
disabilities, you want to be on a single level. If you just graduated, maybe you want a loft or two.
So you were able to create quite the spectrum of, I guess, overnight results, and really take a step back and look at all in different ways of who this square, I guess 375, is that how big this
374.
Is? 374 square feet, and what group that could be, and that really you've come up with everybody.
That was our goal.
Yeah.
To accommodate as many people as possible, and through this neighborhood, that you could literally spend the night in six different units and find what was applicable to you, what elevated you, what made you feel good, what fit your needs. And then in a possible or future phase, you could take that and a plan specifically for you could be developed. But you could actually experience it all in one place.
So So after that, the design process started.
That's true.
How long did that take? So, you know, again, so you've got the vision of Pinewood, you've got the ideas around staying in the casita that is on campus of the Pinewood Forest development. And so now you've just been churning ideas over and over again, looking at different ways and utilizing space. So maybe you could talk about, like, again, was it, you know, design 1, design 40, design 382, you know, how many times did you guys churn these designs over in your brain?
We use virtual reality.
Wonderful.
So we have VR. So being able to go in and actually create models on paper first, put the headsets on, evaluate them, allowed us to actually work through a lot of options very quickly.
Wow.
Because the time frame from start to producing permit drawings was 3 months.
Wow. So you brought up a great point. So a big part of this micro-living world that, you know, we are bringing back what used to be. There used to be a lot more microstructures back in the day, you know, from above garage units to carriage houses to just other microspaces that they didn't call microspaces. They just called houses. So zoning.
Right.
Building codes. We're down in Fayetteville, Georgia. One of the biggest, and I don't want to say obstacle, but I guess opportunity to get to know our government is working through zoning and code. How we say improvements, issues, possibilities.
I can speak into that. With being a new urbanism community. We actually got planned community development zoning here, which allowed us to decrease the footprints, the square footage size of our homes. So that was a huge opportunity for us, allowing us to do the smaller square foot minimums, which should help examples for future developments as it relates to zoning and code. And a better way to kind of prove that concept is actually if you're approved to build it and then other entities can come and look, touch, feel, and maybe alleviate some of those constraints and other developments.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because, Kim, why don't you speak to that, you know, just what we see, because what is the fear right now with micro-living in the zoning and code?
Well, I think with a lot of new ideas, it's just the fear of the unknown. If people haven't seen it before, they don't know what to expect. So there's a fear of gentrification. There's a fear of trailer park. You know, you see the opposite sides of the spectrum, but it's really that fear of the unknown. So I think what Brett said is really insightful, and that, you know, proving it by having a community that demonstrates how beautiful and wonderful it can be to have a micro village as part of a greater community. It's really the way to alleviate that fear, because then it becomes not the unknown, then it's commonplace. And I think your casita was a great step for that, because again, it gave people a way to get inside. And that's, I was really impressed what you said, Jefferson, about the virtual reality, because with tiny homes, it's so hard to design a tiny space or a micro home well, because you really have to think through it in a different way than most, you know, homes are designed. When you have so much space, every inch doesn't matter. But when you have only 374.5 square feet, every inch literally matters. So applaud you guys for your innovative way of approaching this.
And did you get anyone from the city to come stay in the casita or at least the local
government?
We
invite anyone and everyone we can. I do
Wonderful.
Ask that they give us that feedback.
Right.
But it has, we use this, we have a great relationship with our municipality here, and we want them to come along that journey to experience it and to speak into it.
And that, I guess the moral of this story is, folks, if you're listening, that, you know, you do need to know your neighbors. You do need to take the time to explain, show, and, you know, go above and beyond to negate what Kim was talking about, the fear of the unknown. So let's talk about the actual project. Jefferson, do you want to kind of start off with, you know, how did you start thinking, and is it 6, is it 8? How many homes did you create in this micro village?
We have 6 units now, 6 homes. And we tried to work with the sun,
Perfect.
We tried to work with the wind. We also worked with open spaces. We also worked with creating community courtyards and also with nature. So we have different buildings that respond differently. We have a set of three that actually sit right on the main thoroughfare so as to create a knee-to-knee relationship with the community. So you're sitting there on the community, on the sidewalk, really creating that sense of community even on the outside.
Awesome.
Inside, having public or private space as well, where as a community you can all come together with these incredible amenities. We have units that are open to the sky.
Oh.
We have units that are open to the woods.
Wonderful.
We've oriented them so that some are directly connected coming out. You're in the forest. Mm-hmm. You have another one that's elevated, almost treehouse-esque in the sense of it has this long view over a valley. So we tried to create as many opportunities and experiences as we could in 75 feet by
155.
Wow. So you talked about some amazing layouts, but Brett, you mentioned earlier some of the hidden features that is kind of, you know, what people might miss if they take a tour. So how are these things heated and cooled, and what other ways has Pinewood taken a different look on building these?
Here at Pinewood, we are 100% geothermal in our residential portion of the community. So that was an interesting opportunity to marry geothermal with tiny homes. Obviously, when you have limited space, you've got to create areas where you can handle the mechanicals, electrical, plumbing. So we actually have foundation units on our tiny homes, which house these mechanicals and the geothermal. So very excited and very efficient. When you have that small footprint, you have that thermal barrier, you mm-hmm. have geothermal energy efficient appliances and fixtures. It's really a recipe for success.
So for the listeners, define geothermal, just so we get a clear definition.
Geothermal is using the Earth's consistent temperature to heat and cool the home. We actually use vertical wells that actually conduct and extract heat when needed to heat and cool the home.
Wonderful. And so you said it was a 3-month timeline to get the zoning and code right. And then when was like the go date? When was the first day saying we are doing this? Because you talked to me last year and just said, by the way, we're doing this. And I'm like, what?
Yeah, this conversation has been about a year and a half.
Okay.
In the making. So we've...
So let's say, here's, hypothesize with me. So if, you didn't have to go through zoning and codes and all the talks, from start to finish saying, we stayed in the casita, we've got our ideas, we're doing 6 micro homes, from start to finish, like how quickly could a neighborhood like this be put together?
Obviously, it depends.
Depends on conditions and where land, but let's say everything is happy, sunny, rosy, and easy, but I know that's not life.
It would take probably 18 months of due diligence to create something like this. Would you agree?
I would agree.
Okay, a year and a half. I like that answer.
So you guys did it as fast as physically possible, so congrats.
Yeah.
Thank you.
I would also kind of like to hear personally, what have you learned, in this process? Because space is so interesting. You can build a 2,500 square foot house and just add on a box, a box to a box. But knowing that you are building in, what was the square foot? 400 and...
We range. We have 374 to 500 square feet.
To 500. Okay, so 374 to 500 square feet. And is there like 2, 2, 2 or 1 and 2 and...
It's a pretty even spread.
Even spread from 374 to 500.
We're hitting almost every 75 square feet.
Okay.
So if you walk through them differentially, you'll see what you get at 500.
We can't wait to see these just because that is such an amazing way to demonstrate just even at 75-foot increments of what space can do and mean to a person as they walk through, experience, and potentially live there.
It's exciting.
That's so wonderful. Wow. Let's forget my other question. How did that concept come up of saying, like, okay, we're going to start from here to here, kind of like this, I guess another term that we use a lot is a spectrum, like, you know, a spectrum of tiny.
Well, in the spectrum of talking about who the users would be, you know, every group has specific requirement and specific needs. So then you take those needs and you quantify them, in this case, square footage wise, then you found out that one size isn't going to fit all. So if we're going to have these types of communities thrive and grow, you have to demonstrate to folks that we can accommodate your need and still keep it in that type of footprint.
That's wonderful.
We believe in doing it is showing leadership, not talking about it.
Mm-hmm. So, amen.
So we've always been about doing it.
That's great.
And this way here, it's like we can evaluate it. We can look at those things and say, we understand. And for me, can you put a window there? Well, yes.
And by the way, folks, the reason that we have these amazing gentlemen on our Micro Living podcast is that we'll be doing an event on June 29th. It is going to be a micro home tour, and you will be able to see the casita and these six homes that are at Pinewood Forest down in Fayetteville. More details in the bio as well as the website, so we'll get into details later. But just a little note that there is going to be a time and place, well, Pinewood, to come and see these for yourself. So kind of going back, like, what has this taught you, this experience of being able to utilize space and go a little bit deeper into what housing is? Do you feel like a home has been redefined? I feel like the American dream is kind of changed. It's no longer the picket fence and two-car garage. But how has this project kind of taught you, given you new ideas and just ways to innovate?
Architecturally, I think that people through technology disruptions and technology has actually hurt us as people because we don't have the relationships and the connections that we used to have. Smaller living even, smaller footprints, having what we need with relationships and community, which is what this does, creates community, brings significance to our lives. So when you study these things, you go, what do I really need? And if you're really honest with yourself, you really can evaluate and say, does these types of things really make me happy? And it's not necessarily so. We have basic needs. So if we satisfy those basic needs, it's amazing how much energy it gives us for community, for relationships. And then from that, I'm from that side that believes in tribal relations. That I think that we are happiest when we're with our tribe and developing and growing it. So these to me kind of fall in that. And I don't know how that falls on
I agree.
The thinking here.
I believe it's, we encourage that sense of community, and this is intentionally designed to foster community, walkability, nature.
And that's throughout Pinewood Forest.
That is throughout Pinewood Forest, and it transcends right into our micro village. They're designed so everyone can entertain, live together, but then have that sanctuary when you need to retreat.
I totally agree with that. Because if you don't have that, I'll equate it to open offices, open office space. There's a major push on that. You've seen Google do it. You've seen other people do it. Now they're coming back and saying, well,
let's backtrack on that. Yeah.
Because we need a place for repose. We need a place to think. We need a place
to recharge.
To recharge. And we even evaluated that in the community that was developed or being developed right now because we realize how important it is.
Yeah, that's great.
So you have built these. You are almost ready to open them up. So what are we going to be selling them, renting them? What is Pinewood's vision for the first micro village?
Currently, Pinewood Forest owns the six units that we have. We definitely have to establish proof of concept. We have to make sure that there's a demand, you know, for these smaller units. It's our intention, and we have the entitlement to produce more. But right now, the six are proof of concept units that we will lease, and then we're also going to see what that conversation looks like. We are ready to build if
there is that demand in market.
Absolutely.
And architecturally, we see it as an educational opportunity.
Right.
Again, to experience it.
So you mentioned you had a plethora of people try the casita. You know, as people always ask us, like, well, who lives in tiny houses or micro living? Who is this person? And I'm not going to answer that. I'd like you guys to answer that. Like, who do you see testing this out?
We see that niche of the creatives. They're actually in film production across the street. A lot of different people from other states in that industry that come here that would find that appealing. Obviously a millennial that doesn't have the need for such large square footage units. And also we see the empty nesters who have large square foot homes who children are now out of school, out of college, married, and don't necessarily need that much space, but definitely are looking for that sense of community.
Wonderful. Well, would you like to say anything, last words of wisdom to our listeners as we close on this amazing MicroLife podcast? So, folks, you've been listening to the MicroLife Institute podcast on microliving. I'm Will Johnston.
I'm Kim Bucera.
And you can find out more about the Micro Homes Tour at Pinewood Forest on June 29th at microlifeinstitute.org, as well as tinyhouseatlanta.com. Thank you so much for listening, and we will see you at Pinewood Forest.